Okay, guys and gals, welcome to the TDC Connected meeting for today, June 5th, 2019. The subject for today, as you guys all know from my emails, is closing the deal. There are tons and tons of variables on this. In fact, Erwin just mentioned before the recording started here that he'd really like some to be able to combat some of that Chinese product that's coming in and how to close a sale. In regards to competing with that kind of cheaper product available on eBay that we've all seen, and many of you guys actually repair them, so at the end of the day, it could be something that's a profit-generating item, but you miss out on that initial sale, which obviously many of you guys want to take advantage of. So, again, the subject matter is closing the deal. There's lots of variables, like I mentioned, overhauls versus turbines, high speeds, slow speeds, electrics, refurbished hand pieces, new hand pieces, quality hand pieces, some of the knockoff hand pieces. We just got a ton of subject matter. We're going to try and fit as much as we can in the hour. But with that, I'm going to open the floor. I don't necessarily need to start with any one of those in particular. I know you guys have lots of comments on what you've dealt with out there, but let's try and make this kind of solution-oriented too. I mean, there's certainly, in Erwin's instance there's a bit of frustration, and I get that. So instead of being frustrated by it, let's make the comment, hey, this is what happened. I'm not happy about it, like in Erwin's case. And hopefully someone out there has dealt with that and kind of had a little bit of a solution to it, rather than a little bit of a complaint session, which it can always turn into, because we all have those customers that, for whatever reason, decline overhauls or turbines or new handpieces for no reason whatsoever, and they make the poor decision to go with whatever the shine rep convinced them to go with, et cetera. But all of your concerns are 100% valid, but let's try and be solution-oriented. So if any of you guys have solutions with whatever points that guys are going to bring up, Let's have somebody comment that's actually ran into that situation and hopefully had a little bit of a positive outcome with it. So I guess I can let Erwin start if you want on this. You can tell us a few more details about that. Was it an existing customer? Did you try to sell the guy hand pieces of some sort or another, whether new or refurbished? Kind of the Choice Pro economical ones or, you know, the higher end ones. What was the situation there, Erwin?
I, first of all, I apologize if I sounded not positive or I sounded...
No, I can understand the frustration. Don't apologize at all, but let's just get to the details.
I didn't mean it to be that. It was just fortuitous that this happened. This particular customer has two divisions, has a cleaning division, and then they have a dental side to it, or adult and children side to it. And on the one side, they do the cleaning, and they use these.
Just a little louder, Erwin, please. Just a little bit louder.
No
worries.
I need to increase the volume.
I think you're fading away more than getting louder, Erwin.
Okay. Is this better?
You.
Is this better?
There you go. Absolutely. Perfect.
Okay. My apologies. They are relatively busy. They have a whole floor, and on the one side they used to call me in to fix up their slow speeds. These slow speeds were the normal ones that we have. We just put on a Profi and it's the same speed and it goes and like an RDH, I think it is, or RHD. And I went there one day, and they called me, and they said, they have a couple of problems. Can I help them fix it? So I said, certainly can. And I went, and I looked at it, and I said, well, I need to go in there. And I fixed it up, and I overhauled maybe two or three of them, and I went back. And a day or two later, they called me back, and they said, they've broken again. So then I went back, and I said, can we just go through your process of how you maintain them? Yes, well, we clean it and we oil it. I said, how do you oil it? Oh, we've got that special machine over there that oils it for us and blows it through and everything. So So I said, did anybody check to see whether that container is of the oil is full? And you could have heard a pin drop. And then they found out that it was completely empty, and it had been empty for maybe 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. So I fixed them. I fixed up the handpieces, and I gave them, we sent them back to them. And they gave but the other caveat about this is that they gave me one or two handpieces that nobody else would have wanted to fix because they felt that they should throw them away. And I actually got them up and I got them running, and they were running very well when I dropped them off there.
Excellent.
Anyway, so I, you know, everybody's happy on that side, and but they are. I said, you know, the way you use it. I also mentioned them, the way you use it. Maybe you should think about getting new ones. And if you do think about getting new ones, please give me a call, because I'd like to participate in that. In that thing, I'd like to have a chance. The other side, where they use more of the high speed, for the last maybe 5 or 6 months, they've been giving me hand pieces. I've been quoting my normal price of $89 for bearings and $169 for turbine and bearings, and I put in the dash A's and the dash A's of the turbines and the ceramic bearings. I do that as a standard because I found that that's the only time I can sleep. And so I've noticed that over the last 2 or 3 times that they've called me, they've given it to me, I've taken it back, I've taken it apart, I've looked at it, and they want a quote every time. So I give them a quote. And they call back and they say, no, thank you. We're just going to keep this aside and wait. And then I had two of them here that they told me not to fix up. And I was in that area, so I took them back to them and I gave it back. And then she said, the reason that we're giving them back is that we've got all new ones, and they all China, all from China. Took me to a drawer, opened up. There must have been about 8 or 9 high speeds there, and took me back into her office and she showed me that she's got about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 slow speeds that are still in the plastic bags, still ready to go. She says, what do you think of them? So I said, well, I said, you know, they are a lot cheaper than that. I said, you know, and they will not last as long as your other ones. So once they start giving you trouble, I said, you toss them in the garbage can, and you get yourself new ones. And I said that from experience, I've had people who have given me ones from China, and when I've repaired them and I've charged them $169 because it's needed a new turbine and stuff, they've come back to me and said, why did you do it? So I said, what do you mean, why did I do it? You asked me to fix up your hand pieces. She said, but this comes from China. I can get a brand new one for $100. So I said, well, that's your responsibility and not to give it to me. If it's that cheap, and this is my price, then you know my price. You have my catalog. I've been dealing with you for years. Then you need to not give me them to fix up, because if you give it to me, you're saying to me, fix it. So I will fix it for you.
Okay. So what was the response from the doc after that transpired?
That after that been transpired, she now does not give me. She's gone out and she buys Midwest now, and she used to have Cabos, but she's moved over to Midwest, and she buys them on the internet. She goes and out there and she buys secondhand ones, and they come in and they work for a while, and then she gives them. If they go down, then she gives them to me, and I fix them and I charge her the normal.
Okay,
thing.
So did she go away from the Chinese handpieces then?
Sorry, I apologize. No, from the Chinese handpieces, it's still they're still waiting to get experience from that. The big company that the results are still out. On
okay.
She said she will give me, she will call me, and I can call her in a couple of months, and we can talk about it.
Let me put you on hold for just a second here, not physically, but just pause for a second. So I'd like to get some input from anyone out there who's dealt with having a customer that's bought some Chinese hand pieces, and how were you able to wrangle them back in? What was your, you know, kind of sales pitch? How did you close the deal, in other words, on bringing them back on board either for repair or other hand pieces? Is there anyone out there who's had a little bit of experience with that that kind of came to a positive solution?
I did, David.
Okay, excellent. Can you tell us what your experience was?
Basically, what it boiled down to is I told them that, you know, with the cheap imports that you can get on eBay, the chuck, the material that they make the chuck out of is not as reliable as what they make, you know, quality handpieces and quality turbines from, and that, you know, with a good handpiece, you have a predictable, more often than not, wearing out process of the chuck, whereas with the Chinese ones, that's not the case. You might put a burr in it when it's brand new and it doesn't work, or you might be in the middle of a procedure 2 months down the road and it just launches a burr in the patient's mouth, and that happened.
Okay.
So you let them know that, and then what was the result?
The result was what I warned them might happen happened, and I got them back.
Okay, so you didn't. Okay, so you were positive in your, I don't know if it's positive, but you didn't like throw them under the bus and say, well, you bought a piece of crap and now you're going to throw it away and that was a horrible decision. You just let them know the possible scenarios that they could run into with that handpiece, and you kind of told them why.
Exactly.
That seems like the way to do it, to not throw them under the bus, but just let them know that there's some pitfalls that they may run into and some risks that they're taking with that kind of a handpiece, right?
Exactly. And the thing is this, you know, whatever they end up, you know, whatever they're using, you know, more often than not, and I've made a point over the years to buy handpieces whenever I have the opportunity, you know, just to buy decent used handpieces, even if it's just the back cap and shell. And at any given moment, I probably have about 60 handpieces in stock. Is that overkill? Yeah, it is. But, you know, if I have the opportunity to sell stars to somebody, I've got them. If I have, you know, someone who needs Midwest, I've got them. I'm a little bit weak on Kavo. But anyway, that's not the sales pitch. It's just the fact of the matter is I have the ability to bail them out of their own scrape when they've used poor judgment, and let their desire to save money, you know, get in front of their desire to, basically provide a safe environment for their patient. And you know, the other thing that you can, you know, ask them is, I mean, you'd obviously have to have a good relationship with the doc to be able to be this direct, but ask them how important their reputation is, you know, with their patient, and how good is their liability insurance, because they are taking a significant risk when they use, you know, that stuff that comes in from China. I mean, it's no big secret. They make a lot of effort to try to make something look good, but they put absolutely no effort into making the quality, you know, a part of that equation.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Bailey. And I think, Irwin, I don't know exactly how you verbalized it to a doctor, but just the way that you described it sounded, and I hate to say this, it sounded a little demeaning, like to the doctor. Like basically you were letting them know that they made a bad decision, but you were being pretty forthright about it, whereas it sounds like Bailey tried to more educate them, if that makes sense. It was just a slightly softer approach, it seems like, and then kind of an educational approach. And maybe that would be a good route to take with that customer. And you might have done that. Maybe you just verbalized it very directly to us because you don't need to sugarcoat anything.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's true.
It sounds like Bailey kind of sugarcoats that presentation to the doctor in trying to convince him, you know, to make a better decision moving forward.
Yeah. Now, I can you hear me?
Yes.
You are quite correct. When I was there, I was very, very positive. I said, you know, it's fine. It's, you know, good luck with it. But please be in mind that when these things do break, and they will in 6 to 9 months, that, you know, that that you may as well throw them away because it will cost you more to fix it.
I would definitely say to check back with them more often than 6 to 9 months. I know here locally our rep, Don, has run into some offices that gave us Chinese handpieces. And according to those docs and that staff, I mean, these things last more like 3 months. And I've heard some people say right out of the box, 1 out of 4 or 5 of them won't really work right. So
yeah.
I would definitely advise keeping on top of these guys a little bit
Absolutely.
More often than
the,
6 or 9 months, maybe in a month or two. Go back in there and ask them how everything's going.
Yeah, and the other I do have another one that a new customer that I'm working on that has maybe 2 or 3 offices, and he said to me, the doctor actually called me into his office and said, what are your prices? Because I have tried these Chinese ones and they don't work, and I want
yep.
to now, I'm looking for something different. So, and I went back to him, but I think it was just before a holiday and he was on the way out. And but I'm going back there today to pick up some handpieces to the same building, and I'm going to see if I can get back into speaking with him and ask him if he wants to go forward with that, and can he give me an opportunity to provide some handpieces for him, offer him some handpieces. The other thing is
I heard hold on that thought. I heard somebody trying to chime in with some help here. Who was that?
I was going to say something, Dave.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Well, in a situation we're talking about, one other thing, if the doctor's already pulled the trigger on buying the Chinese handpieces, one other way to possibly create a future sale would be, just offer to them, if you want, I can come in another 6 to 8 weeks, and we can put a tester on them just to make sure that, your handpieces are still safe to use, and that way we can put a numerical figure to how strong that chuck is, and then also let them know that if one of these chucks is starting to fail, if you want, I can put a good a good turbine in there, or I can build you a good turbine that will work in this handpiece that will keep you safe and keep your patients safe. And at least at that point, you're creating that opportunity and letting them know that you got their back.
Absolutely. Is there a pivot that we want to do here, guys? I know, and Erwin, I don't mean to cut you off at all. We're almost 25 minutes in here, and we're still talking about Chinese handpieces, and we have had a complete TDC Connected meeting just on Chinese handpieces. So I do want to see if anybody wants to talk about some of the other ways to close a sale, whether it's trying to convince a doctor of getting an overhaul where you might be getting a declined, or going with a turbine, or going with a refurbished handpiece, or how you compete with other things that are out there. Can anybody pivot to something like that? And not to discount Erwin's concern here, but I do want to cover some of those other things, and if we want to go back to the Chinese stuff, we certainly can.
I would love to pivot and get some information on how other people have been successful at doing exactly that. So we can leave the Chinese stuff out at this time. Please do.
Okay, let's talk about some of that other stuff. Scott, are you with us right now, or?
I'm here, Dave.
What do you have to add on this? And not necessarily going, but diving back into the Chinese stuff, because I know we've had a whole meeting on it, and you kind of went into how you do that. But I would say there's so many variables in this and closing the deal. And what are your secrets to success?
Well,
you usually have good analogies for them.
Pressure. We don't really get a lot of declines on just basic air-driven. With the exception of the people that use the cheapo handpieces where they can buy a new one, and we've kind of similar answers, it's the electrics, which are the ones that, in the quotes anywhere in the 385 to 500, low to mid 500s. And that's where there's definitely just educating. A lot of times it's you're talking to you know, an assistant or somebody who's sent the handpiece out and they're just relaying a quote in it, things definitely get lost in translation, you know, when they're just giving the quote to either the office manager or the dentist or whoever's the ultimate decision maker. So by just kind of planting a few seeds for her, so when she delivers a message, it's also helped get some that would have been potential declines into approvals by letting them know, you know, these handpieces new are typically, you know, $1,200 to $1,500. And, you know, because you have to have a sense, too, if they're quoting, if they're declining it, the reason they're declining it, you can just come right out and ask. They might get a little defensive. But on an electric, my assumption potentially would be that they think that's a high quote and maybe want to have it sent back to them to send it back out somewhere else. So just educating them that the cable factory typically charges, you know, $585 or whatever the number in your region is, and it'll be gone for, you know, a good month. And a lot of times, you know, she'll either call back and they'll end up approving it. So, you know, I don't want to make this all about electric handpieces, but that's probably the area where there's the highest percentage of declines, you know, just because of the price points on those repairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could try to think of some examples of air drivens. But yeah, I mean, in the 169, 189, you know, on a turbine, very few declines on, if it's any type of mainstream handpiece, you know, whether it's a Star, Cavo, Midwest, or anything like that. You know, we do run into, well, doctor might not want to repair these because he's looking to buy new handpieces, but obviously that's an opportunity right there, where you want to make yourself a part of that purchasing, you know, even if it's, you know, even if it's not going to be ultimately bought through you, you want them to come to you. You know, when you go to buy a car, I'm sure we're repeating stuff we've said in the past, but, you know, if you go to a specific dealership or a specific salesman, they're going to try to sell you whatever. But, if you know, if you want to know how the inner workings or which cars, you know, are the best for whatever you're looking for, talking to your trusted mechanic or whoever's repairing your vehicle might steer you in a direction. So you at least want to plant the seed to your customers anytime they're going to be in the market for something new. You know, feel free to call upon me to give you some feedback on, you know, depending on what you're looking for, you know, I can certainly point you in the right direction. And then, of course, we now have some good solutions where we would hopefully have something that fits that solution for them, you know, to turn it into a sale for you. And then, you know, taking that a next step further, having all, you know, hand pieces on hand for them to have in a trial capacity makes a big difference too, rather than them just buying it blindly based on you telling them it's the greatest, you know, hand piece or a great value or sounds like it fits exactly what they're looking for. Give them the opportunity to try it out for a week or two, you know, for a few procedures so they can get a feel for that. So the main reason for declines on just standard, you know, level turbines would be because the doctor might not want to repair these now because he was going to possibly buy some new. So that's what's happening. But electrics are where we would run into more, where definitely, you know, you have to walk them off the ledge a little bit and go through some of those other.
So
know,
is your
make
basic,
sure they,
I'm going to take you right back to that. So is your basic strategy to walking them off the ledge to stress, A, how much a new one is, number one, and then B, how much Cavo would charge for that repair and how much extra time it would take?
Yes, and then now that you're saying it back to me and I'm hearing you saying it, I would also, of course, have the option, which we have, you know, if he does want something new or would want to replace it, we also now have some pretty good solutions, you know, for that. Whether you, I would even offer them, you know, a $100 trade-in and discount the price on that, you know, if they're buying one of our new BAs or, you know, we have a few other ones at our disposal. Because obviously we all have value in their old cores, whether even if it's just an air-driven Midwest Tradition or a Star Shell, you know, but an electric especially, you know, just to pay to fix it up, to resell it, that's a home run, or to use the parts inside it. So if they're thinking of not spending that, you know, 485, whatever that quote came, because doctor's looking to buy a new one, then yes, the things you just said, you know, you'd want to point out what a new one costs so they have that information, but then tell them that there are some, you know, we have some good solutions for them on new ones too that can save them. So you could turn it into a new handpiece sale, you know, from us versus, you know, their sales rep, whoever they normally buy from.
Okay, so you give them the new price, probably whether it's an air driven or an electric.
Mm-hmm.
You let them know what your price is versus the manufacturer. Obviously, you stress your turnaround time versus the probably 4 to 6 weeks or maybe even more with Kevo, and then you also potentially offer a trade-in value. And if they are going to go new, you'll even offer them a demo.
It sounds like
you pretty much cover every base with that, to me. What I was going to ask, though, is do you have a backup? And this is something we haven't even talked about yet. Do you offer have a backup offer or a special or a coupon or something that you'll also try and throw out there in case you need it?
I mean, I could be bought. No, I mean, if it's strictly a price issue and I know they sent a couple in, you know, I can make a deal with them that's still going to be a win for both parties. I try not to get in the habit of, you know, of doing that. But
so
the problem is,
resort.
Yeah, especially if we've taken it apart already and we've got, you know, time and whatever, and we typically won't charge a decline fee or anything like that. But the only negative, sometimes they need to go through the negative experience, and, you know, if I never got the opportunity to tell them what cable is going to charge them or whatever, it's going to make your 385 quote look like a hero and all that. If God forbid they did, you know, you did have to send it back and they sent it out somewhere else, or and sometimes you don't win the battle that day, but you know, we have had a lot come back after the fact. But I try to prevent that and kind of try to politely tell them, you know, what would happen if that's, you know, if they're thinking that they're going to get a better quote. And I also, not going back to the scare tactics on the Chinese ones, but, you know, early on in the electrics, we even did the same thing. There were a lot of companies offering, and there still probably are a few, just to repair what's wrong with them. You know, if the head's bearings are bad, they might get a $185 quote from someone else that just to do a head reconditioning. But we've all learned from that the end user in the next 2.5 months has their handpiece heating up again, and now you find out it's their lower gear from their, you know, another major part. To them, it's the same thing. You're supposed to cover that under warranty. And, you know, we all know that's a totally different part, and they're not going to, you know, they might not and be polite about it, but they're not agreeing with you, and you're going to end up, you know, and so we got away from trying to do a, you know, lower. So they may learn the hard way, too, by finding somebody that is willing to quote these if it's an aftermarket repair place, not a factory-level repair. So, yeah, I didn't mean to make this into electrics, but there's some times where ultimately, you know, time is on our side on those particular situations, but it's a small percentage when it comes to those types of things. And just like you would have us, you can cut me off, Dave, if I'm going on and on too much. But
no, we've got time here. I would like to get
if,
a full kind of
just like when we send to if we send to corporate a B&R handpiece, you've kind of trained us to pre-quote, you know, to. Because if customers, well, let me just get an estimated, hoping they're going to hear $150, they're just wasted everybody's time and shipping and all that. So I'm pretty upfront with the customer. I don't like giving quotes on the sale, you know, if they're calling before they ever sent the handpiece. But I will lay out all, you know, I will be pretty direct at, you know, what the recondition price is on an electric. But I will, you know, say even if you find that that's close to what Kevo charges and you still prefer Kevo, that's where the whole turnaround time is really, you know, even if Apple's that, if the price was the exact same for both options, but one could be back within 3 or 4 days and one's gone for 4 to 6 weeks, I mean, that should be strong enough to get them to want to use your service.
Okay. Well, thanks, obviously, Scott. You had a lot of stuff you kind of threw at us there, which is all good.
Hi, David.
Well, I mean, yeah, but...
David?
Yeah.
Hi, David. It's Andre from New Jersey. How are you doing?
Yeah,
guys?
Andre. Yeah, welcome, welcome. What can you add, sir?
You know, you guys are making great points, but I'd like to add one more thing that for some reason I've been lately successful doing, and that's when I just joined Dentist Choice, and I was asking you questions, and Dave said, just don't forget to mention that you're a local handpiece repair person. For some reason, that local, some doctors or even the assistants, they do take it literally, even if you're 45 to an hour and a half away from them. And that, I think, just a little in addition to the service that you provide, because cable will take 4 to 6 weeks, something else, but you are there for them. And when I started to walk in lately, and I say, and they'll say something, a lot of stupid comments, as a matter of fact, but the comment that I make, I am here to help you to do the business. I'm here if you need something, you have a back. Basically, I'm having your back. Anything goes wrong, because even cable, when it sends you back, that doesn't guarantee you 100% that the piece is going to work like a new one. You have to send it back again, but I'm here to pick it up the next day. I do offer that service, though, so if you guys don't offer it, then it's useless to mention. But they seem to really, really enjoy that sentence, that I am right here to pick it up right away. So besides the price, which is very fair, and the guarantee, we warranty our service, but the fact that we are here, we answer every phone call, and be here to service them, I've had lately very, very few declines, especially on electrics. And I think that service sentence, local handpiece repair person, actually helps. Because before that, I did the same thing except that one, and it seems like I did not have as much success. I don't know if it matters to you guys, but it works for me. It works in New Jersey, it should work everywhere else, because people here are very picky.
No, thank you, Andre. That's very helpful. One thing that Scott actually didn't mention was the local aspect, but he probably does, or his reps probably do, but thanks for mentioning that, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, huge emphasis on everything, and, you know, I say something like I'm just a phone call away, and they seem to really appreciate that, as long as you show up, of course, when they call you.
Yep. As Jay Eubanks always says, he tells them what he does, and then he does what he says. So yeah, that's obviously important.
But I do have a lot of Chinese people buy Chinese things, a lot, really a lot. Some offices don't bother anymore because I took over business from David Reinhardt,
right.
Unfortunately, who passed away some time ago. And I actually have some offices who do not bother fixing things anymore. They absolutely go and buy new stuff every year. Or as soon as the warranty is gotten out from cable from Shine or Patterson or whatever they buy it from, so that has been a little bit problematic where I am in the area, especially well-to-do offices. They do not want to bother with any fix-ups.
Yeah, I mean that's problematic everywhere to a certain extent. I know that our local rep here, Don, who most of you guys have met. You know, has a good combat for that as far as offering, like you said, the local service, the quick turnaround time, the basically the upgrade into the handpiece. Hey, congratulations on buying an inexpensive shell. Now let me put a nice Midwest or Cavo quality turbine in it, and you've actually got a really nice handpiece that isn't going to fail on you every couple of months.
Hey, Dave?
You know, that's it. Yeah.
So I also thought about something else that another cause of I guess one of the higher causes of decline, and could put it out to the group. And I mean, I kind of combat it a certain way a little bit, but it's tricky. So what'll happen is if I give a quote out, they look at their little thing and they'll say, well, this is the third time it's been repaired since. Like they kind of just take an arbitrary number of how many times they have had a handpiece repaired, even if it's been annually, but sometimes it might be three times in the last year, and they're just looking blindly at that. And then I kind of, if I do have the opportunity to speak to them, and I see, well, one time it just came in, it was for water, so you really can't count that it got, you know, three turbine repairs this year. So there's scenarios like that where you're kind of just dealing with, they're almost like a computer counting, you know, a program just telling them, okay, this handpiece has been repaired, instead of actually telling the full story that you know, they think the handpiece has either become a lemon or even just on a good quality handpiece, if they've had to put a turbine in 1 year for, like, each year, then they're like, well, the doctor says, you know, I kind of explain, this is my answering my own question, and then I'd like to put it out there, but, you know, if it seems like it's been a normal, you know, frequency, like every year, you know, I tried to politely explain them, they're going to be a little bit more disappointed if they buy a new handpiece for $700-$800. Yes, they might get a longer warranty with the new purchase, but they're still going to be using it in the same environment, and they're going to be disappointed when that now has to start being repaired, you know, regularly every year. And obviously, if this is a different thing where things are failing at a very frequent thing and it's a turbine each time, then that customer could be on the ropes anyways. That could be more of a, you got to step in on the maintenance side of it to, you know, to help them through that, but that could be a reason. But that's a common reason for declines also, is just if they feel that a particular handpiece or their handpieces in general are not lasting, we should just replace them, type of thing.
What I found my comment on that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Thanks, Scott.
When I do send out an invoice, I'm sure everybody does, you know, you have your description, and then I put in a list of all the parts that I replaced. And then at the end of that, you know, it's all the setup and test. And then in brackets after that, I put in a number and an M for months. And, you know, like 30 M. And they sometimes say to me, well, what's that 30 M? I said, well, that 30 M means that it's 30 months since the last time I saw this handpiece. That means that you guys are doing a great job at maintaining it, or you don't use it. But, yeah, but the guys have been really maintaining it well.
You handle that if it's only 3M? Like, if it's one that came in, it's almost, you're almost bringing to their attention something that may create a problem that wouldn't have been a problem, or it might have been in 3 months ago, like I said, for something minor, to get them from not wanting to repair it because of it was only in 3 months ago, or even if it was a different problem.
That I do explain to them. It's an excellent question, because I've had, you know, both sides of that. One side have said to me, you know, I say part of the reason we are so successful is that we really don't replace, like, everything that's unnecessary. We just replace what's necessary, and we keep you or 10 or 12 months or 24 months out of it. But the other side is where you do have a person come back and say, you know, this was, why don't you just put in bearings, and then, you know, like 8 or 9 or 10 months later, you'll have to put in a new turbine, and why don't you just put them both in at the same time? So I said, well, I can do that for you. With pleasure, that every time you send me a handpiece in, what I'll do is I'll always put in a new turbine and new bearings and everything with it. And some of them are quite happy with that. And some of them say, well, you know, let me think about that. You know. Had both sides of that. But I think I think it was Andre from New Jersey. I'm here to help you. I think that's such a great sentence. And the other thing that I also like to tell, I'm going to start using that. And the other one is that you're dealing with me, you're dealing with one person. I pick up, I fix up, I deliver, and I watch over your warranty. I check on your warranty every time I repair a handpiece for you. So you only have to deal with one person. And I think some people don't like dealing with big companies because they don't know who they're speaking to and if that person will eventually resolve their problem. And it's a different
now, in going back to the original question that Scott had, which was, you're having the same handpiece and it's been fixed, let's say, once a year, every year. That seems like a point, Scott, that you would congratulate them on, right? I mean, how do you – I don't know if you posed that as a question, but I'm curious. Did you pose that as a question, or how do you combat that when they say something like that?
Well, yeah, so kind of like what I said before, I kind of tell them that that's actually kind of a benchmark. You know, yes, we can work on – I get into the factors of what can prolong that to longer than a year and the reasons that would cause it to last even shorter than a year. But I just kind of let them know that that's actually a decent result, and if they buy a brand-new handpiece, you know, like I said, they'll be disappointed if they doctor outlays, you know, $1,000 or a couple $1,000 on new handpieces, and then – they're faced with repairs, you know, right after those warranties end every year again. So it's just an educational thing that, and, you know, I'll get more into detail that the hard parts of the handpiece, the whole body shell, you know, as long as they don't have exorbitant other things that are wrong with it, meaning it needs optics or the head and tail or whatever that caused the repair to be much higher than a turbine, that as long as all those parts are in good working order, then, you know, I really try to hammer home why they only need to replace the turbine and why they're not going to necessarily see better results with, you know, by replacing the handpiece.
Well, I hearken back. That actually reminds me of something that your dad said years ago, and one of his kind of analogies was always he'd walk into the office and he'd point at some diploma on the wall or some picture, and he'd say, if the glass breaks in that, do you replace the whole frame and the picture and everything, or would you just replace the glass? Right? I mean, kind of a similar analogy. So what's happening essentially with a handpiece is about once a year, the glass cracks. And let's just replace the glass. There's no reason to replace the picture frame and the picture and the diploma or whatever else, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know
this
if I nailed
a,
it,
a
right?
Cable.
You might correct me on that, but it was something very similar to that that he used to...
No,
to
yeah, if it's a fairly modern handpiece, I think they're making a bad choice and politely... you know, let them know and that they're expecting different results, it's not going to happen. But if it's the different question would be if it is kind of an oldie, whatever, then you want to then present to them, you know, our replacement options if we truly do kind of agree that, okay, yeah, this handpiece has kind of seen its better day and, yes, they could fix it and get it running, but it's really an eyesore at this point and all that. So that's where we would go back to the, you know, our approach on new handpieces, let them try it, what's most important to you, push button, swivel style, fiber optic, non-fiber optic. Now, these Bayes handpieces I actually have a weird good feeling about. They're going to be a good option for a lot of our offices that aren't set up for optics and want that option.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, that's...
Could you go the one route that we take, and I don't mean to be a little bit off base here, but you're talking about the older handpieces. I know if it's like a Cavo 632 or 640, or sorry, a Cavo 640 or 642, that was like the last time I felt like Cavo really made a solid, good handpiece, right? The materials were good. The handpiece was rock solid. The repair was pretty straightforward, not too difficult. And before they started adding all the spring washers and slinger washers and all the baloney. So we always, if a customer, even if it is a little bit worn on the shell, which of course it's going to be, whenever they ask us here locally if, you know, it's getting a little old, should we replace it, we always stress, you know, this is a really well-made handpiece. This is when handpieces were made really well. If it's running, I would highly recommend.
Well, I agree 1,000%. Like, we'll see the people that buy the Lairs, buy one, get one, that fit on their Cavo couplers, and they were using Cavo, and I tell them I'd rather see them, if they want to save and not have to spend Cavo dollars, I'd rather them buy a refurbished Cavo for $300-something because of what you just said. It's still, I still think, I agree, that's still, you know, manufactured and it's a reliable handpiece. And also, if anybody on this call has any 635 shells, call me off the air. I have a customer who's looking for some.
Well, Bailey's got 60 hand pieces, but I think he said he was a little weak in the Cavo area. He may or may not have some for you. And I think Monty Bruner was actually looking for some small head Cavos too. So that seems to be
okay.
A,
well, I'll put out a few feelers, but
right now. Yeah.
Yep. I just had a message put on my desk for customers looking for some. So. Okay. Because I got a captive audience of 10 to 20 of us now. So.
Yeah, we have. Beth, this is Patty. I've got lots. 30
at once.
Paul.
You have lots?
630?
Yep.
Six 635s?
Yep.
Awesome.
Okay.
Patty, I don't know if Lonnie's on the call, but I'll have him call you too.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll reach out to you after. Absolutely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I think Patty's going to be able to solve a couple people's problems today. Awesome.
Yeah, we should get back to that little, we'll save this for the convention, but at one point we tried to start a little, you know, Google Share thing where we can all kind of post and or on the pilot on that site. You know, some of us are good about going there.
Yeah, we did your Google, the Google Excel spreadsheet that we
had. It had a little bit of a push, and then I think, you know, it lost a little steam. But, yeah, we got to regularly remind people to, you know, start checking there because I think we can all, you know, that'll help us all, especially applying to this topic, you know, for selling because selling new is obviously great too, but a lot of times that's a great market is the refurbished.
Agreed.
Absolutely, because you have, even though everybody makes a handpiece that fits on a Kevo, I know our local rep here, Don, gets calls or talks to docs, and they want a Kevo. They want a Kevo refurbished handpiece, and you can offer them any of 8 different manufacturers' handpieces that fit on a Kevo coupler, but they want an actual Kevo. So I agree that being able to communicate on that. I thought that was a great idea, that Google Share. And we had a little bit of activity there, Scott, off the bat, and then you're right. It just kind of faded away and disappeared into non-activity.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find the original one, and maybe you could send it out in, like, the
absolutely,
the
I will.
Something.
And, absolutely, and I will. And when you mentioned it, I popped
people
on
people can
my
invite
Google.
And edit. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, awesome. I'll definitely do that. Any other thoughts, guys? We've got a few more minutes here. I guess we covered a lot of the different, you know, things that you need to stress to these docs when they're hem-hawing or you know, wavering on an approval. I love the fact that Andre really stresses the local. Obviously, Scott, you know, stressed the price point of new, the price point of the manufacturer, the turnaround time, and then kind of a thing, we actually touched on this at our last convention, and we should probably stress it again. We'll have a little bit of time to do so. That trade-in, I don't know if you guys remember, but we did the trade-in handout at the last convention, and Tim Ropechan, although he kind of got a little sideways with his tech talk, but he was big on offering your customers trade-ins because of what Scott said. You've marked the thing up, new handpiece, you know, especially that electric. Some guys are marking it up as much as $400, you know, $350 to $400. So to offer them a $100 trade-in value is kind of a home run, especially if the trade-in is something that can be rebuilt, refurbished, and then sold, you know, on its own. So I do love the trade-in. I didn't know if any of you guys were taking advantage of that. I know Tim Ropechan kind of stressed it at our last convention, and I even did that handout, which I'll be happy to just email to you guys, a basic trade-in flyer that we kind of came up with if some of you guys lost it or just didn't pick it up at the show.
Please do.
Yeah.
Please do.
So anyway, it sounds like we've pretty much wrapped it up here. So thank you, Irwin. Thank you, Bailey, Scott, Andre, Patty, obviously, for solving a couple of problems here at the end. Hope you guys have a great day. And if you do want to re-listen to this, it will be on the TDC Connected site by day's end. So have a great day and a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Hello? Hello? Anyone there? Hello?